This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Yes, sir. Hour number two, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. I hope you're having a good Sports Tuesday here with us on 105.3 The Fan. Jerry was back on with Sean and RJ. Interesting conversation. You can go back and listen. 105.3TheFan.com, Twitch, YouTube, Odyssey app, instant rewind functionality. It's a great way to tolo. NFL news of the daytime. Here's Wolchuk.
All right, there's a lot of stuff that is breaking at the moment regarding really the LA Rams. So the Rams have just designated wide receiver Puka Nacua. He is going to return from IR. This moves his 21-day practice window open for the team to determine whether to activate him from IR. The other interesting development, according to Diana Rossini, is that the Rams have called multiple teams about trading former Super Bowl MVP Cooper Kupp. The Rams have indicated a willingness to take on some of the 2024 salary that he's due, and they're seeking a second-round pick in compensation for Cooper Kupp. So if you're a team that wants a wide receiver right now, Kansas City certainly comes to mind. We know that all of a sudden the Jets now got Adams.
But the Niners?
The Niners, maybe. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know that they would make that trade in division, but you never know. That's very possible.
Yeah.
They could. Hey, if you're saying,
the fact that they're making it available, I think they would. If San Francisco gives them a second-round pick, I think they'd make that deal.
And then the other one that's quite fascinating, Jack Settleman, who has been reporting Matthew Stafford could also be available. Now, he's the CEO and founder of Snapback Sports. He's got 56,800 followers. Seems very verified.
Snapback Sports, not Ballsack Sports.
Not Ballsack Sports.
As far as you know.
But he is saying the Vikings and the Rams have been having talks about possibly Matthew Stafford going to Minnesota, which would reunite him and Kevin O'Connell, his former coach there with the Rams.
Yep.
Obviously, Sam Darnold then could possibly be a long-term replacement for Stafford there with the Rams. Sean McVay likes what he's seen from Sam Darnold. You don't have Minnesota who's willing to give Darnold a long-term deal. They just drafted J.J. McCarthy, and I think right now Stafford's kind of year-to-year. So they think they can upgrade there with Stafford over Darnold for this year trying to win, and then the Rams go ahead and get their quarterback maybe of the future in Darnold. That'd be a fascinating development. It's a very, very big switch off from several years ago before the Super Bowl. F them picks. Now the Rams have really done a great job of drafting, specifically in the middle of the draft, with not having a whole lot to work with. Now they're looking like, okay, we're still trying to compete, but we're also rebuilding. We do need picks, but maybe we could try and get a quarterback in Sam Darnold that we like, that we do think we wouldn't have to really move on for and draft a quarterback.
Salute to your the GM over there. Is it Lex?
Less.
I mean, that's how you do it. That's what we want the Cowboys to do. When you have a window, say F them picks, start trading your picks for superstars and try to win the Super Bowl. And then when you're down, you're like, hey, we don't have enough good players. Yeah. That's when you trade your good players for picks and start drafting your balls off. And you know, if you can ride that pendulum a little bit, I think that's why the Rams are having more success than the Cowboys, even though the Cowboys have drafted more star players in the last decade.
It'd be amazing. I'm excited to see kind of what happens here with the Rams.
Hold on here. The Vikings, are they seriously considering, or is this just being talked about? Like, maybe this should
talked
happen.
About. Yeah. I mean, I haven't been able to get that verified from like a Diana Rossini or an Ian Rappaport, but we've seen some of these other obscure people end up hitting on some of these trades before. Hell, the Kyrie Irving deal was one that was floated. I think we had the guy on the show that'd been right about some of this stuff before, and you know, we didn't see Shams or Woj, so. I think that this is something that probably is being talked about. I don't know how real it is.
So this is more of an independent source saying this is being discussed. I like those kind of things. They're always juicy, you know. I would just be surprised if you know that your quarterback situation is going well with Darnold, that you're like, hey, could we get 15% better with Stafford? I mean, Stafford has injury history. He's older. You might have something cooking with Darnold. And if, you know, J.J. McCarthy doesn't have a good camp next year or a good start to the season, I would love have the idea of having two young players. And Darnold's a great prospect with a good arm, incredible competitiveness. You know, it might have just taken him a little bit longer.
Yeah, figure it out. It could. I mean, I would absolutely take Stafford over Darnold. I think that's an upgrade, personally. Yeah. Like, especially for a team that's trying to win a championship. I think you've seen Stafford go and do that. The jury's still out on Darnold in some of these big game moments. We might have just seen one against the Lions, even though he didn't play poorly, right? But that was a game that they lost. I love it. I mean, I think this is a fascinating conversation to have, especially the Rams maybe getting Darnold. Now, how does Sean McVay do with Sam Darnold? I like that fit for him, too. Either way, Sam Darnold's in a pretty great position here.
It works great for the Rams. I mean, let's get rid of our old guy who doesn't fit our time frame anymore and get a younger guy in here with upside who's, you know, putting up a passer rating over 100 with
smart.
12 touchdowns thrown. Yeah. You know,
he's been fantastic.
I'll be surprised if Minnesota moves on from him, though.
Well, and you have Stafford readjusted his contract, so he's on an expiring deal. He gave up on his 2025 guarantees, and they switched some stuff around. So it was basically a 1 year, $40 million deal that he's on right now, and he's expiring. So it does make sense. I just wonder for the Vikings, what would you be giving up draft capital wise? Yeah. Are you really making the swap Darnold for Stafford? Because you know you have J.J. McCarthy coming up the pike for next year. Stafford's now your rental, but what draft compensation are you also attaching to Darnold to go to the Rams there? That's fascinating, dude. What a bold move that would be for the Vikings to be like, man, we are, shocking as it is, we are in a Super Bowl contending season, and we have Sam Darnold, and he's played admirable, really, really well, but wouldn't you rather have Stafford? Yes, you would.
Yeah.
Especially with the reuniting factor with Kevin O'Connell, right. Like there's already that symmetry. And
he knows
probably
the
can
offense.
Hit the ground running to some extent.
Do you got my back at all on this, Brian?
You keep Darnold over Stafford?
Yeah. How old is Stafford? 36 years old.
Yeah.
But you have J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, they're not like
they
looking
just drafted J.J. McCarthy, who is a total unknown, right? Who is a total unknown, but you selected him in the first round in the top 15 picks or whatever. You identified him as a guy that you felt like you could build around. And you now have a chance to win a Super Bowl. You think right now you're winning a Super Bowl with Sam Darnold? I don't think the chances are that much better with Stafford.
Yeah, I kind of, man, I would hate that. I don't think I would upset that position. I just don't. I mean, I don't think I would sit there and think that, you know, we're 5-1 right now.
I love the boldness of it.
Oh, no.
Dude. I really do.
Well, it's
everybody wants to stay status quo quarterback.
No,
everybody just wants to pay $6 million.
It's Mike Tomlin.
Tomlin.
Yeah. It's Mike Tomlin. You know, he's 4-2 or whatever, and he makes a switch with Russ Wilson, who everybody thinks is washed, and he goes out and wins a game. They look
it could
better.
Pay off.
Yeah,
huge.
And it looked better. Their team looked better, and we're all like, "Wow!" I would if I was the personnel department in Minnesota, I would question if we really wanted to do this. I mean, do you really want to do this? Do you really want to potentially, you know, do you really because. You've seen receivers, even Jefferson's come out. Remember how he was talking about Sam Darnold? Even before the season started, he was talking about Sam Darnold and he was talking him up. And we were all going, yeah, okay, Sam Darnold, bro, you're not fooling us. You know, and then they get off to off to a damn good start.
It's strange that a guy would take this long and suddenly get good. But if he plays well the rest of the season, and we really love J.J. McCarthy, I want to trade Darnold for more than Stafford. I want picks. This is a starting quarterback if he plays another 10 games well.
I'm lining up to play a playoff game. I feel much better about Matthew Stafford starting for me than
we all
do Sam Darnold.
We all do.
And that's the bottom line here, right?
But you wonder, like, coming in, well, yeah, you've got 11 weeks left, you know, 10 weeks left.
I think that's what they're, like, big picture. Like, can we win a Super Bowl with Sam Darnold? I would say no. Can I win one with Matthew Stafford? He's proven that he can. I'd make that change. I'd do it.
It's amazing.
It,
it's amazing
to me. Is this just a player swap? Maybe it's just a player swap. Like, to Dawson's point, like, hey, Sam Darnold's got value here. I don't need to attach a pick to him. We'll just go straight up.
I mean, that's another layer of that. Should we just, hey, if you want to ride it out with Darnold, I could get way more. I'd get a first-round pick for this guy,
possibly. See, that's the thing about it is that.
Yeah, but Darnold's on a one-year deal, too.
Arnold's
so it's not like you have control over him.
I think you have to have some loyalty to him. Like, you probably didn't think, you're like, man, we all thought Minnesota was going to be trash once he played quarterback.
Yeah.
They're 5-1.
Well,
they're one of the better teams. I mean,
did the Rams owe it to Jared Goff not to move on from him? He took him to a Super Bowl.
They don't owe it. 4 weeks from now, if Darnold's not playing well, they'll look back and say, damn it, we should have done this when we could, which could very likely happen.
My man, Les Snead is crazy, though. He's crazy.
Yeah, he is.
But this would be Vikings crazy. This isn't Rams crazy. This is Vikings saying we're the contending team and we want to make a player swap in a year that we think we are Super Bowl contenders, doing it at the most important position.
Well, that's what they're probably doing right now then, to be honest with you. They're probably moving on from Darnold because they don't want anything in the way of J.J. McCarthy.
Well, Darnold.
That's now, another layer to it.
Darnold's on he's expiring anyways.
But people are going to, if they have success with Darnold at quarterback, there are going to be people in Minnesota screaming to bring him back.
Yeah, there'll be pressure.
I mean, this way you are getting maybe competition out of the way for J.J. McCarthy.
And you're getting a quarterback that is also win now and has won a Super Bowl and knows that division.
Two expiring quarterbacks, and you basically just get to say, who do I want for the season?
Yeah.
There's no big picture thinking about it. There's no long term.
Your big picture.
It's just right here, right now. Do I want to snap my fingers and turn Sam Darnold into Matthew Stafford? I think the answer is yes.
Please. For me, it would be yes, please.
Me and Wolchuk just put in the call, man. We just made the trade. We're celebrating right now in the war room.
Time out. Another
high fiving, dude.
We did it.
Next branch on the topic tree, though. How about if we don't call the NFL league office and put this through? How about we trade McCarthy in the offseason if Darnold's our guy? Like, you know, how much more of a win now guy do you need than the dude that beat the Niners in week two, beat Houston impressively, and, you know, beat the Packers?
Okay, you could do that.
And then he went toe-to-toe with
the Lions, which you wouldn't have. You'd be sacrificing the rookie window of the small pay scale because now you're going to have to pay Sam Darnold big money.
And you're picking up the unknown of McCarthy. He might go out there and rookie it up, and you're like, holy cow, we're horrible again.
Minnesota might think that McCarthy's not any good.
They could want to bail on that. That could be possible. I thought this was an amazing storyline, though.
No, you're right. It is.
Holy crap. I mean, like, if this were to happen, that'd be fantastic. Now, we did have the suspension. Jameson Williams of the Lions is going to face a 2-game suspension as he has violated the NFL's performance-enhancing substance
policy. He was looking a little too good.
I think he was a little too fast. Yeah, don't you think? It's probably something was going on there. But he's second on the Lions in receiving and touchdowns.
Yeah, it's totally worth it. Again, this goes back to the point of Dawson. Like, this is a 2-gamer, you said?
2 games.
For 2 games?
Better than Amon Ross St. Brown now.
Keep worth cheating. Yeah, keep cheating.
Especially coming off an injury. You kidding me? We got to get this thing healed. We got to get strong around it.
Well, you talk injuries. Last night was rough for the Bucs.
My goodness.
Chris Godwin probably
it's rough
done.
For TV right now.
Yeah, done for the season.
It's rough for wide receivers, you fantasy football players.
Dude, it's been brutal. The image of his 1 foot going the right way and then the other one going completely
that
opposite. Yes, but
seen a guy laying on the field in front of me.
He kind of got lucky that it's just a relocation, a dislocation.
Yes. Yeah.
I know.
But he still has to have surgery.
Disgusting.
And it's the second time his knee's been completely just effed, and he's got to go back.
I feel for him.
I do too, because he's come back and been so good for them. And then Mike Evans ends up injuring his hamstring, and this was mid-air. He's grabbing the hamstring it locked up on him. I don't know what went down, but both pass catchers there getting hurt. Now, Lamar was stellar last night, as was Derrick Henry. They've had a historic start to the season, have the Ravens here offensively. First team in NFL history to average at least 250 passing yards per game and 200 rushing yards per game in any 7-game span. That's unbelievable. Lamar Jackson's on pace to be the first player in history with 4,000 passing yards and 1,000 rushing yards in a season. That's unbelievable. Derrick Henry's on pace to break his own NFL record and Eric Dickerson's NFL record for most rushing yards in a season with 2,120. They're combined, Lamar and Derrick Henry, to run for over 3,200 rushing yards this year. And Derrick Henry is the only player since the merger to lead or co-lead the NFL in attempts, rushing yards, yards per carry, and rushing touchdowns through week 7. Last player to do that, the great Jim Brown.
Jim Brown.
Things are going right there in Baltimore right now. After that 0-2 start, they got the get right game against the Cowboys, and they have not looked back.
Yeah man. They've got answers now to a lot of different things. You used to be able to just blitz them like crazy, and now you can't because what Lamar's doing versus the blitz is pretty special. You do wonder what physical condition is Lamar Jackson going to be in when it matters.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's pretty much the main thing.
Yeah, and make it
this version of him.
Yes.
Come on, you play the Super Bowl today, or you play AFC Championship versus the Chiefs, and you feel like, okay,
They got a shot.
He might be able to do it, but gosh, the season is long, and he becomes just a bit of a different version of himself.
Yeah. You know, I feel like maybe the Ravens were team building in his rookie window. Like, he's so good, we just need to make a defense and give him a tight end, give him a couple outlets. And once they shifted to, hey, he's amazing, what if we give him great weapons?
Yes.
And now a great scheme. Like, yeah, let's open this thing up a little bit. Yeah, let's not Greg Roman just like pound the rock. Monken,
that's who they brought
in. Todd Monken.
Yeah, he has been fantastic. Yeah. He really has. Last thing here, Amari Cooper, fresh off of his first game with the Bills, took to the podium. He's played a lot of places. How's that Bills Mafia compare?
It's very impressive. I mean, you know, the fans, they it has a good feel to the game. Like I said, it just felt different, the fans, for some reason. I kind of got the warning throughout the week that the fans are very passionate. I have been a part of a lot of very passionate fan bases. You know, I played for the Raiders, the Cowboys, the Browns, Alabama. But this one, it seems a little bit more heightened. So I guess that's a good thing. Yeah.
Bills Mafia.
Yeah, I'm sure it was driving into the stadium grounds,
seeing
hours before kickoff,
fire,
and seeing human beings on fire with smiles on their faces, leaping off of Winnebagos, crashing down into tables, men, women, and children alike. Yeah, gosh. I believe that's probably what it was that really opened up his eyes. And then who knows what type of intimate objects were thrown at any point throughout the course of the game. As we know, the Buffalo Bills have a tendency to do that as a fan base.
Yeah.
So across the board, it makes sense.
It does.
It's a different group of folks. I love. Have you guys seen the new? They're kind of evolving this thing. So week one in Brazil, Packers Eagles, we saw the Philadelphia cream cheese helmet or head, like the Packers cheese heads,
making fun of them.
You saw so that was like, oh, I've never seen that before. Like, kind of tip of the cap to you, Philadelphia. I like what you did there.
Nice play.
And now I'm seeing Bills fans in the stadium with a buffalo wing, a drumstick, buffalo drumstick head, like a cheese head for the Packers. It's fantastic.
We just need to make a brisket head.
There we go. I was going to say, you know, what do? I think brisket's the right answer.
What's the right answer? 877-881-1053. What should Cowboys fans be wearing on their head other than maybe like the brown paper sacks? Because that's going to be the obvious.
Clearly. Fletcher's $20.
But if you're going for some level of food, Packers cheese head, Philadelphia cream cheese head, Buffalo wing head, what's the Cowboys
head? Like a rib?
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's a good nominee.
Yeah. Maybe some chili. No. A chili bowl head.
Chili bowl. Yeah.
No, that doesn't capture Texas.
The good news for you is we're in the no bad ideas phase right now.
Yeah.
So we're just throwing crap against the wall.
Cowboy hat's too simple.
Exactly.
We got to be a food. A taco? Brisket, a taco. Ooh. We're the home of the nachos.
A pizza burger? I mean, can I get an amen over there, Broadus?
Well, that's a lot of food.
It is. It's delicious.
Maybe
as
a lemon burrito.
Speaking of great places,
those cowboy hats sort of shaped like a taco, so you can have like the taco makings in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Fake taco makings.
Oh. I'm totally in.
Huh?
Jerry?
I like that.
It's just going to go viral.
Like the brim of the cowboy hat is like queso. Yes, dude. That. I think we're on to something.
Winning. Okay, I'm ready.
You
could actually put real snacks up there. You put real queso up there.
Exactly. Yes.
Start eating out of the hat.
Yes.
I like this idea.
Sad Cowboys fan dipping his taco into his own queso up above his head.
It'd be amazing visual.
He's like crying tears.
Two chances to pick up your G-Bag flag this week. Thursday at Richardson Bar and Grill on Campbell Road. Then Friday, Buffalo Wild Wings in Grand Prairie on 20. Both G-Bag and KMC there on Friday. Chief, a new segment, Sounds of the Sports Day, is going to be debuted?
Yes, Bill Belichick at the height of pleasure and Manning discomfort.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
next year in the nation.
Welcome back, Nation. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, contact the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com, and let's get this sound to the sports day underway.
Yes, I got some good clips for you here. Also, taking your thoughts at 877-881-1053 as we try and do for the Cowboy fan what the Packers fans have done with the Cheeseheads, the Eagles have leveled up with the Philadelphia Cream Cheeseheads, and then, of course, you have in Buffalo with the Bills Mafia, they have a Buffalo wing head that their fans are wearing. So what do you got?
Just saw a Ravens fan with a championship ring hat. Maybe from their title 12 years ago or whatever.
All right.
I was thinking we could do one with five championship rings hats. So at least we can let people know we're flexing here.
There you go.
Might be down right now, but yeah, Don't forget about them.
Yeah. Especially maybe like a cowboy hat with all of the rings on it or something.
Might be high priced. You know, we're going to have to get a budget version.
Kind of like the idea of a Texas shaped Texas toast garlic bread head.
Ooh. Now we're back into the food, and I love that. I just picked up some Texas toast last night at the grocery store.
Did you?
Yeah.
I felt like you came in here with a little extra energy and excitement, a little pep.
The five cheese one? Oh, my goodness.
Why would I want anything
less? I feel like with a plate of lasagna or something, I can go through four or five slices of that, no problem.
Yeah, once you go five cheese, you never go back.
Never. Mm-hmm.
You see, like, when you see the minimal cheese ones, you're like, no, there's no
just
chance.
Just butter?
Yeah. Thanks, but no thanks. Maybe a Bluebell gallon head.
Yes.
Texas Twinkie had been texting quite a bit. I like that.
But, like, what's the item that everybody's going to think of Texas as, you know?
Right.
Maybe an old revolver from the West. You know, what's I don't know, that could be problem getting into the game with it. You know, is that the real thing or not?
Yeah,
it might be a little short-sighted of me to suggest that. But there's got to be an item out there, Chief. I applaud you for looking for it.
Yeah, thank you. 817 margarita, being that it was invented here. The ballpark nacho was also invented here. So there's a lot of different ways you could take this.
I wouldn't mind owning the nachos and letting the world know. They're going to be like, why do they have nachos on their head? Then they'll find out.
Yeah, that's true. It could be a bit educational. Damn, people can open their eyes.
Tomahawk ribeye.
Tomahawk.
Yes, wow. Yeah.
Ooh.
All right. All good ideas. Chicken fried steak helmet. $4.69 is a good idea. Okay, let's go ahead and get into it. G-Bag Nation presents Sounds of the Sports Day, and we will start with the Manning cast. Listen to Bill Belichick at the height of pleasure talking about the greatness of Ed Reed.
Ed, love man, all the great work you're doing in the community, man.
Ooh. I'm sorry.
Not quite what you were thinking it was.
Yeah, it was just Bill B. Sorry about that.
Oh, Billy, yeah.
Oh, my God. Everything. Where do you start? Run force, tackling, man-to-man coverage, blitzing, disguise. He was great in the deep part of the field. Great speed, range. Then when he got his hands on the ball, he could score from anywhere. 105, 108, 100, whatever it was, yard returns on interceptions. And then his punt blocking. When we played against him, we had a different punt protection whenever he was in the game to make sure we doubled the guy. We found somebody else not to block. We put two guys on Ed Reed. Now, luckily, he wasn't in there on every punt rush. And there were times where we played against him where he didn't rush a punt the entire season. But if he came into our game, we were double him. He had his own punt protection. Only player I've ever done that against in my entire career. So it was everything with Ed Reed. I told Tom, never release the ball without knowing where he is on the field. Not that I had to tell him that. He knew that. But you have to know where Ed Reed is when you release the ball. Because he would start 2 yards from the line of scrimmage, ended up being 35 yards deep, or he'd be 20 yards deep and blitz and get there and still be there. I have so much respect for him as a player. He was so hard to play against. And it was so unpredictable. You think you know what he's going to do, but he was good. He was really good.
I mean, he could have gone.
Oh, my God, everything.
I mean, just the first noise that he makes there, you can just tell. Ed Reed does something to the football eyes of Bill Belichick that no player ever has, perhaps even including Tom himself.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I don't know if you could get any bigger compliment for a football player than what we just heard Belichick give Ed Reed. I wonder what that is. You know, that's sports IQ combined with speed. But there's an intangible in there that you just, I don't know if you can scout it.
I'll tell you what, he was a very, very difficult player to scout at Miami. He played almost 23 yards deep every single play. He never was around. It really was difficult to get an idea. I mean, him and Troy Polamalu and those guys were such great around the line of scrimmage players, and his ability to walk up and kind of be disruptive. But at Miami, you would have never, ever believed that he was ever going to be a player like that. It was when he came to the Ravens, and I don't know who his all his coordinators were.
It was Marvin Lewis.
Lewis, you know, Ryan, yeah. I mean, those guys. They had it's much like what Dan Quinn did with Micah Parsons. He put something out there. He took something that nobody really, really knew about and made him what he is. Ed Reed was a great player, but you would have never, ever thought that the way he played by watching him on college tape.
Well, we do have some sound of Ed Reed, who was also on the Manning cast last night, Ravens playing, of course. And this is towards the end. You can hear Eli Manning trying to get him out. But then Ed Reed notices a player wearing a Guardian cap. And then you have this awkward where Peyton Manning's trying to defend the safety of him and Ed Reed. And then Peyton Manning does the amazing changing of the subject here at the end. But it's just a beautiful disaster.
Ed, love man, all the great work you're doing in Peyton, the community, man.
Peyton, they got your helmet out there? That's the new thing,
that's
right?
That's the Guardian cap. That's the Guardian cap. Most guys wear it in practice, but you can wear it in the game if you want to for safety. Oh, he's got him. Oh, he bobbled it.
Now, how much safety is that, though?
It's an extra layer. It's an extra layer of protection. Like I said, all the players are wearing them during training camp at practice, and then players are allowed to wear them if they want at the game. So it's another layer of protection. So
you really think that protection is going to do something past that carbon fiber that's on the helmet? Usually when a boxer knocks somebody out, he punched the crap out of him in the jaw. He don't hit him in the top of his head.
Listen to Dr. Reed explain.
So when a person gets knocked out, their neck is going to snap too.
Oh.
It's going to send a shock in their nerve, and it's going to make them go numb.
Roger Goodell's calling right now.
It's
get this guy off.
From the frontal lobe. It's going to be because of the head movement of the lack of muscle strength in the neck.
Ooh, Tua.
Or the weakness thereof that happens over time in the game is called fatigue.
Ooh.
Ed, your Ravens are giving up some easy touchdowns here. I need a little pep talk from you, buddy.
It was watching the
I think
faces,
he makes great points.
Watching the faces of Peyton and Eli there as they're just dumbfounded. They're like, no, please stop talking as you go into the science and the nerve and the spinal cord and all of those things. We don't need it. And then Peyton trying to change the subject. Just a wonderful, wonderful clip there from the Manning cast, which I find myself watching more and more of.
You know, I enjoy it the way I'm getting it through the social media feeds and whatnot. We are getting some really good suggestions here. How about a Longhorn helmet?
Okay.
As a stadium bit.
Yeah.
Now, something has come to my mind that when we're going to AT&T Stadium, it's maybe less about being a crazy fan in the community and more about dressing up for a night on the town. So I don't know if people are going to want to, disrupt their game day costume.
I know this about because Eric and I are out there. Did you ever get to do the outdoor pregame shows?
Yes.
Were you out there in the West Plaza?
I don't know. No, I don't think so.
I don't think there's any dressing up.
No, I don't think there was a West Plaza then.
Yeah, I don't think there was any dressing up in our era. Eric, you feel like people are dressing up going like I kind of feel like it's kind of like the fan. You know, a lot of A lot of jerseys. A lot
of hardcore guys?
Okay. A lot of hardcore guys.
Yeah, but I get what you're saying, because if we were in with like Raiders fans or something, you're seeing all face paint. We don't see enough face paint, body paint.
We see jerseys, but the dressing up part of it is the ladies will wear the shorts with the boots.
Yeah, the boots.
That's kind of their...
I prefer skirt with boots, but
like
short
SEC
boot,
game day.
They go with the boots, but dudes dressing up, I guess there's an area you could probably go into and see a lot of people dressed up. Okay. I know walking out where we're out.
Let's do it.
I'm kind of like, I don't know about that.
How about a cowboy boot hat? A big old boot top of your head.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some of these you have to be aware, like who's behind you. Am I obstructing views?
That's true. Yeah, that's true. You don't want it to be too vertical in nature. We got some more clips, but we can hit them a little bit later. Boys, there it is.
Right on. There he is. A sounds of the sports day here with you in the G-Bag Nation. Sports hodgepodge coming up at 4. Maybe that's a... opportunity to get some more of these cuts in there. Krusty's Corner's coming up next, though. Brian, where are you taking it?
Yeah, I've got some questions for my guys, but also there's a big question I want to ask them about Jerry Jones. We'll do that next.
Thank you, Lucius. Thanks to Yotolos out there for making us part of your day. A hodgepodge is coming up at 4 o'clock. Big day on Friday. Two chances to pick up a G-Bag Nation flag. Thursday, Richardson Bar and Grill. Then Friday, Buffalo Wild Wings and Grand Prairie. Not only will we be out there, but so will Mike, Kevin, and Corey, KMC Masterpiece. Here's Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Thank you very much to Reliant as well for being a part of this, as they always are. Very nice of you.
Salute.
I have a question for you, and this kind of came from the Jerry Jones talk this morning with Sean and RJ and that crew, but also what Lucius played too from Joe Buck and what he was talking about with Derrick Henry. And it's kind of a two-parter. And first off, I would say, did NFL teams... because of philosophy of running backs or the way that running backs are treated, did they miss on Derrick Henry and some of these other backs that we've seen that have had success with other teams? Is it a philosophy? Would you put it this way? Would you feel better if Jerry Jones came out and said, we misevaluated Derrick Henry because of philosophy? That we didn't feel like he could still play. Now, they would be wrong, you know, but do you feel like they were the only team that was wrong about Derrick Henry?
No, I think a lot of teams were wrong. But was it
because of philosophy
now that
hey, we're not going to pay a guy $8 million a year because our philosophy tells us we shouldn't as a salary cap team.
Well, in history with his age, most running backs aren't very successful at that age.
I think Jerry would be right in saying most teams would not be able to do for Derrick Henry what the Ravens have. You have a quarterback like that, weapons like that, a line like that, 6 yards an attempt. For us, it might be in the low fours. You know, we can't create that kind of an opportunity for him. And at his age, the odds of him having another big year are so low. It's just a low probability. So I definitely think philosophy is the right word.
Yeah.
And it's hard to strike that right balance to get it absolutely perfect. But I think for the Cowboys, it was also to do with the reality of their salary cap situation and how much they owe to guys in the next two years, really. They didn't have, you know, the extra money to throw at a running back. I think the Ravens... you know, would probably, if you gave them honesty and say, how many other running backs could get over 5 an attempt in this offense? And I think the list is pretty impressive. You know, you're not getting much more production per dollar spent at running back. You can get a lot of production for $1 million, or you can spend $12, $15, $18 million and hope for what? A half yard more per attempt? Maybe if the guy stays healthy. And at this age, Derrick Henry's age, man. I mean, the likelihood of an injury is skyrocketing. The likelihood that he falls off the cliff in any offseason is so big. You could give me Derrick Henry in the exact same situation, and I don't know if that I'd want the Cowboys to do it. Unless they are ready to win a championship, the draft is over, there is nobody else available at running back. That's, you know, ultimately when the team signed Derrick Henry.
I just think, and Chief, go ahead. I'll,
No, it's fine, please.
No, I think to me, when I look at Derrick Henry, and I think about Joe Mixon, and I think about Aaron Jones.
Yeah,
you know, I'm seeing all these running backs that are having they're like revival of their careers, going to these other places.
Yeah.
And I wonder as a whole, did the NFL as a whole, as a scouting community, misevaluate the running backs in the NFL? Jerry's telling us he can't afford them. I would feel better if Jerry told me that we missed him. We didn't evaluate any of these running backs right. You know, all of them.
We thought Zeke was good.
Or if you'd have at least picked up the phone.
And he's included in the misevaluation.
Sure.
He's included.
Well, from that standpoint, yes, there was. I do think there's a real, truth serum, Jerry. Maybe today it's different, but, in the offseason, Zeke and Derrick Henry were, the same player in his mind.
See, that's what I'm saying.
And that is a huge miscalculation.
I don't know if the Cowboys are alone in this. I don't know if the Cowboys are alone in this.
No, there's a lot. That's why they're not getting taken in the first round.
I just want Jerry to tell me, don't tell me about the money. Tell me about that as a pro department, we didn't think Derrick Henry or Joe Mixon or Aaron Jones or any of these, or Zeke, they thought obviously that Ezekiel could play because they knew him.
I want to know the light bulb came on and they decided to stop overspending at running back. Or they've acknowledged we're not good at this. We need to take a step back.
See, that's where I'm kind of looking at this and I'm going, damn, don't tell me about the money. Just tell me your evaluation didn't feel like you were talking about, Dawson.
Yeah.
That the age, the wear and tear, all these things. I mean, we could kick Jerry in the junk all we want.
Sure.
We could also, I think the other teams too, the teams that look smart right now are the ones that maybe took a chance on these guys because those look like teams that they have running games and it's helping their quarterback.
Well, they're true contenders and they need a running back. Remember, this is a soft rebuild. Maybe they're not saying it loud, but we don't want to be throwing resources right now, significant resources, if we're not going for the championship. I'll give you this though, Brian, the question back, or maybe the thought back, I think the pendulum has swung too far. And some teams are saying, oh, no, we don't want to spend anything at running back. We're not investing at all. And I think that's a mistake as well.
I think teams got caught in that with Derrick Henry and others.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going here. I don't think the Cowboys are alone. I think there's a lot of guys and gals sitting in their scouting departments going, every time Derrick Henry runs with the ball and you think about, damn, what about that meeting we had in the spring talking about him? You know, that was a big miss. Not only by the Cowboys, that's a bad miss by a lot of teams in that regard.
The thing is, I wonder what those conversations were even like because they didn't even pick up the phone and call and just see.
Because they probably thought Derrick Henry was washed, everybody else in the league.
Then I would love to know that. If you thought he was washed, then cool. Then yes, I get why you didn't call.
Don't tell me about the money anymore.
Right.
Tell me. We didn't think that Derrick Henry could play.
Because they said Zach Moss was too expensive.
Well, to Jerry's credit, he did say, we don't think that Derrick Henry would be doing the same things with us as he's doing with Baltimore.
But I think that's a pretty fair assessment. Sean and RJ had to get run through the ringer by him for asking those questions.
Yeah, for a while he wanted to say that this was a media-driven
talking point. You are the general manager. All you have to do is say our evaluation of Derrick Henry is one we missed on.
I'd like that.
But you know what? Damn, we missed. We missed on that one. You know what? He might not have been able to help us because our scheme isn't any good right now. We got an offensive line that can't block. You know, we got two young guys. We got a declining right guard. We got a right tackle that I paid that's not getting it done for me right now. I got no point of attack blocking tight ends. You know, that to me, as a fan, I would feel better if he said that.
Yeah.
I would think, okay, hey, yeah, we effed this thing up. They did. They effed it up.
And there's plenty of sports leaders that do acknowledge that.
Yeah.
I think he's too insecure.
See,
the ego's too strong.
Even though because no one has more security than him, which is
he wants to be known as something that he's not putting in the work for. The work gives you the confidence. He's insecure because he's not doing the work of a GM, but he's posing as a GM.
That's the biggest frustration.
Yeah.
I don't know how much due diligence is going on when it comes to looking at all these running backs you're talking about, Brian.
Oh,
I think it's what's the price tag? We can't afford them.
No, I think I will say this. I think that Alex Loomis and Will and those guys, I think they look at these guys.
It's never a knock on them. It's the guys making the decisions.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's Jerry.
I lived this where you bring it to him.
Right.
I lived this before.
And then what's he going to do? Say, Adam, how much would that cost us? And then Adam says we can't afford them. And then what's is that conversation over after that?
Well, if it's a deal where your pro department says, and this is where I think, if Alex Loomis and Will McClay and those guys say, damn, he's got something left, Adam Pacifica can find ways to make this work.
Right.
For sure. The cap guy, right?
The cap guy, yeah. Adam Pacifica will find a way to say, okay, maybe we're going to have to cut this or do this or that. But to me, I want to think that the initial evaluation of this guy wasn't one to sign. That's where I think this was. That's where I think the problem with the Cowboys were.
That
their initial evaluation of this guy was not, they say he can no longer play,
sure.
Which now looks terribly wrong. But you could also say that in Houston signed. Just pick another NFL city that, you know, is evaluating these players.
Yeah. There's a lot of cities that have adapted this.
That's what I'm saying. When you misevaluate your own team, you're effed. And when you misevaluate, you know, others, and I think that Alex Loomis and Will, I think they do a good job on their pro stuff.
Yeah, I do think, though, it's fair to just say that not many teams were in the position of Baltimore to say, like, we could convince ourselves that we are kind of a running back away, and we would be willing to use this amount of dollars for this guy at this position at that age with that amount of mileage. Yeah. There's not many teams that are looking around thinking that makes sense for them.
Yeah.
And to me, that makes sense.
Would this been one of those things that when we talked about, say we talked about this in April, you know, before, you know, after the draft or May when they signed,
mm-hmm.
would this been one of those things, Dawson, I kind of have a feeling I know what you would have said because you say, man, guy gets banged up, da, 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 da. You wouldn't have been on board with this, would
if
you?
If I knew I was getting this Derrick Henry for
no,
eight
no,
mil?
No, 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 no. You're just getting Derrick Henry.
I'm just getting Derrick Henry. No, I wouldn't want him. No. Coming off last year, it looked like his career was slowing down.
Chief?
Yeah, no. No, yeah. I wouldn't.
See? Just say that, Jerry. Just say that you guys didn't feel like that Derrick Henry couldn't play anymore.
Yeah.
And I, you know what? And I've been there. I've been there where I'm like, damn, I was trying to convince Parcells to sign Charles Woodson.
Yeah.
Bill was telling me everything that this guy couldn't play. So it's kind of like watching Derrick Henry. Like Bill was like, Brian, no, he's going on and on and on. And it convinced Jerry and Steven that we can't do it.
Hmm.
Can't do it. Now he's, you know, he was like defensive MVP.
Yeah, Super Bowl champion, yeah. Packer.
I think, to me, this is where the Cowboys, just say you missed the evaluation.
Yeah.
Don't say you couldn't sign him. Just say you missed the evaluation.
Or start calling people idiots.
It also just goes back to just being absent free agency in general. All the running backs you talked about, and you can say let's draft a running back. You can't draft every single position that you need. The draft isn't the answer for everything. Maybe if you had assigned one of these running backs, it would have made up for drafting Maris Leofau, which you needed a linebacker. It's cool that you drafted him. Hopefully he's good.
Yeah.
But
you just signed the wrong one.
You weren't able to draft a runner. Yeah, they signed the guy that they're emotionally invested with.
Right.
The rest
if they
would have
got Joe Mixon, or they would have traded from the guy from the Raiders,
yes.
or got him, you know, if that would have done, then they would have been better off. I still think they're better off. I mean, just hand the ball to Rico Dowdle.
I'm with you on that 100%.
Yeah, yes. Thank you, guys. Appreciate your answers.
Thank you, Brian. There he is, Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40. That was a hell of a running back conversation. It was brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning here with the former Cowboys scout NFL executive. We move on now to a sports hodgepodge. Chief, what's cooking?
It's a back-to-basketball Tuesday here in the nation, and we ponder when Halloween decor goes too far.